Welcome to another episode of Discover Harmony Florida. I'm Kristen McCary and I'm here with your host,
Janine Corcoran, broker for Corcoran Connect, a real estate company.
And it is that time of the month. We're going to go over what happened in the real estate market.
I know what happened in the month of May.
Yeah. Is May over? May We're already started into
June, hurricane season. it's crazy. So we had 24 sales last month. So
that's quite a bit, because in April we only had 13.
Yeah.
And but we knew, like, in April, I think we even talked about it,
or having a lot of pendings.
Yeah, that it was, you know, the inventory crisis is starting to, you know, even out a little bit, which is nice for all the buyers out there that are still needing homes. We're having homes hit the market.
Yeah. It seems like things are flattening out right now.
Right. You know? Yeah, it definitely is. Mm-hmm. A lot, you know, you can feel the winds of change in the air. Mm-hmm. So that's good. But 24 sales. So what did we have in May? I wanted to say April, because I can't believe it's June.
I know. No. So in the month of May, for Ashley Park, which is the condos and the townhouses, we had only 3, and the average price per square foot, which we always talk about, is $156.60, and that is down from last month.
Yep, but last month we only had 1.
Okay,
so right. You know, one house doesn't make a market, okay. And it was $159. So we're it's pretty close. Yeah, so it was $204.9 for the one condo that sold.
And this is a mix of condos and townhouses too.
Right.
You know. So.
Right.
Okay, well, that's fair. Yeah, fair enough.
Close enough. I don't feel like it's that big of a change.
I was surprised that there were only 5 cash sales. So I see a little bit of a change, some more VA, FHA, which is great.
Right.
And conventional is always there. But just surprised, because the investors were really gung-ho and out. And so now only having 5, you know, out of the 24.
Right. That's a pretty big difference. And I mean, I didn't count it for last month, but there was only 1 cash sale last month. So I get April.
So it's been changing. So yes. For a while there it was cash, you know,
but that's good. I'm happy to see that. Right.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Because you just definitely want to have people living here. You know what I mean? And nothing against renters, please, by any means, but,
Heck, I was one here for 10 years.
Like, exactly.
12 years. How many years? I don't even want to talk about it. Actually, I just did the math. I'm good.
And resales, we only had 4 sales, and it came out to $190.37 a square foot, and that went down. What was it last month?
So last month, the resales you had at $193.17.
Okay.
So again, a little bit, but there were only 2 resales last month in April.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, again, you're talking a numbers game, you know, one house could kind of bring down an average. And so they're right about the same. I feel like we're kind of like you said, like, you know, leveling off, plateauing a bit. You know, which is good for the buyers out there that really needed to. And that doesn't mean a bad thing for the sellers. Like, if you've been in your house for 2 years, you still have a crazy ton of equity.
Yeah. It's not like you know, leveling off doesn't mean like the market's crashing or anything like that. So,
just making a little healthier.
And then custom homes. We had 2 that sold, and, average on that was $202.91, and that
we didn't have any in April.
Yeah, so we had nothing. So no change there, and both of them were 1 stories. And that, you know, as we always talk about, 1 stories get a little bit more price per square foot.
Right.
What you have the lakes?
So the lakes, there were quite a few sales in the lakes in April, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just look back at April really quick. So April we had 5 different sales in the lakes, and this time we only had 2. So that made a big difference, and their price per square foot jumped a lot, but they were also newer homes, you know, located on the Songbird street. So those seem to be a little bit higher price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Songbird Circle. Yeah. So $242.13 is a square foot.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's good that the lakes are seeing some action.
Yes, and you might as well do Enclave. There's only 1 that sold.
I know. Listen, that's a lie. That's just the only one that's in the MLS, and the county is taking forever to update. Yeah. So, like, it's hard to pull the accurate numbers for it. But there was 1 in the Enclave that sold. Price per square foot was at $247, which was up quite a bit from the previous month. So
if you look at price per square foot overall of everything that has sold, including Harmony West, which we'll go over in a minute, so you're looking at the Enclave having the highest price per square foot, and then the lakes.
Right.
Yeah. So that's pretty good.
Yep. Absolutely.
And so Harmony West came in at $208.21 a square foot.
Right, and they had quite a few sales there, didn't they?
Yeah, and there's only one two-story. The rest of 12 sales in Harmony West. One was a two-story. And just to give you an instance, came in at $160.51 a square foot, and the average is $208.21. So single stories overall, just on the, not counting Ashley Park at all, just single family homes. One stories, we had 17 that sold and the average about $219 a square foot versus four two stories that sold at $168 a square foot.
Right. So it's a difference.
Yeah.
Big difference.
I always say that.
But it also one story homes tend to be smaller because you can only get so much house on a lot.
Correct.
And the smaller homes tend to have a higher price per square foot than
So that plays
than a bigger
into
home.
The fact.
So it's not just exclusively one stories are more valuable, just that.
I think
that if you have a one story home,
I think it's very valuable.
Well, that's because you live in one. I think if you have an owner suite downstairs, then it evens the playing field.
That's true. Wait, an owner suite with a guest bedroom on top of it, because in case, mom comes to visit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You need a passport to get back to me in the enclave. I'm so far away. I forgot something this morning and I had to go back to the house and I was just like, wow, this is a real distance.
But soon to be open studio.
Yes.
At the new house in the enclave. So there'll be no more traveling down to this end of Harmony.
Yes.
And it'll be a lot easier. Everything will be set up. So
what are you seeing in terms of the overall market? Like, with listings that you're taking on, with the number of listings, because I don't know about you, but I feel like I've been shooting a lot more real estate lately. Like sellers are starting to kind of like jump into the market. So I feel like that's kind of evening out the inventory crisis that we've been dealing with for the past couple of years. But what are you seeing in terms of the listing end of things? Like, how are things?
Definitely, especially the upper end houses are taking longer. They're staying on the house longer,
But longer in terms of like what we've experienced the past 2 years, not longer in terms of like a historically normal market.
Okay, that's true. just from what we came out of, what we were used to. Right. Everyone is expecting the house to fly off the market. And I still think that when you're in that sweet spot, you're still flying off the market.
Right. And what would you consider the sweet spot?
It used to be in the high threes or 375. Now it's like up to 450.
Right.
That's the new norm for the
sweet spot.
Sweet spot. Right. Yeah. Yeah, so there's definitely in the 400s, definitely. I know Bill had written quite a few offers with buyers, and luckily I think won them all, but and they were all in the 400s,
right.
And that's a sweet spot. And, right. He writes a strong offer, as do all of us.
Right. But so you think that anything kind of over 450-ish is kind of, that's where it's starting to see a couple more days on the market.
Yeah, definitely. It's taken a little bit longer.
And are you seeing anything different in terms of like the offers that are coming in or the offers that are going out, like with, appraisal gaps or, anything like that? Like, is any of that stuff changing, the things that are winning the bids?
I haven't personally seen that change. Looking at, the agents that are writing their deals, they're still, making the buyers write a strong offer I was talking to an old neighbor of ours, their daughter was looking for a house, and I was explaining to her, and she's in that sweet spot,
right?
And she's up in Orlando, that's the same thing. And I just explained to him what's going to happen. This is what you can expect, and in that price range, chances are it's going to be multiple offers, but we'll find out. But always, write an escalation clause, and just talking them through the whole thing of how things work and how to be strong. So.
Right. So if you had a seller that's coming looking to sell now, what's your best piece of advice for them in terms of being, especially if they're kind of like right on that cusp, right? Like if they're right in that 450, 475.
So when we always tend to look at, which is how we should, we always look at the solds, what has sold historically and when it sold. Like, if you're looking back 6 months of January, what sold in January changed during March, April, May. But now that things are flattening out, we used to figure, okay, well, the prices are still really appreciating. How much of an appreciation can we give and allow to close, above what the last one closed for? But now that kind of changed to be like, okay, well, now if we're flattening out, let's not, maybe add that appreciation in.
Let the buyers add it in.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and you've always done that. You know, it's always better to be below market,
right,
to have, you know, multiple offers. And again, it really depends on their sweet spot. But yeah, right, definitely the higher end homes are taking longer.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's typical.
Yeah, that is typical.
In a normal market.
In a normal market, that's right, typical.
We were both very flabbergasted when the custom homes were hitting the market and flying off in days. And we were just like, how did that happen?
Yeah,
so it was...
And we still have all the Disney people come in and things like that.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. So. Absolutely. And this area is growing like crazy. Like, I don't think that we're in terms of like, you know, anything that's going to happen on a national scale or whatever. Like, I just think, you know, we're in a good spot here. But I feel the winds of change. But I also feel it because it's twofold, right? Like, some buyers are kind of like sitting on the fence and they're just like, hey, maybe I signed a lease for another year.
Mm-hmm. A lot of that's
so
happening.
Their urgency is gone because now they're already in a lease. So they're kind of like, well, let me sit back and see what happens. Are the rates going to go down? Are they going to go up? Or da da da. But also, I think sellers are entering the market right now. They're putting their homes up for sale more. So we're helping with that whole inventory crisis that we dealt with for.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I also see a change with the builders.
Right. What are you seeing there?
Well, because we get weekly emails from the builders, you know, just putting out what they have. And now all of a sudden it's, you know, no wait on homes. We have, you know, spec homes or inventory homes. And,
right,
and just like all of a sudden I'm like, huh. Oh, now they're offering, oh, we'll pay you a bonus. So I'm like, it's like they're always like 3 weeks ahead of us,
right,
for some reason.
Well, because their houses aren't ready yet. I mean, some of them are. But for the most part, builders are like, building for 6 months down the road, you
right,
know, like if your house is a block or whatever.
So they're coming out of this frenzy, building, expecting,
right,
you know, and they were doing multiple offers too.
Right.
They were like till it built and then said, okay, here's a list. Like, I think D.R. Horton's given us a weekly list and they would say, here's your list. We want your highest and best. I haven't seen them say, I want your highest and best. Now
right,
they're saying, this is inventory that's available right away for your buyer.
Right.
You know, come here. You know, if you close it by this month, we'll pay a bonus. We're paying for the closing costs. So
right,
not all builders have changed.
Right.
But yeah, because we get those emails all the time.
So, and that's a great point too, to buyers. You know, I mean, you might have counted out new builds before.
Yeah.
Maybe you couldn't wait. But with them starting to, you know, have inventory available and you're not dealing with multiple offer situations, that's actually how we were finally able to buy a house, is mm-hmm, just because we lucked out. I can't tell you how much of a God thing that was, because it was literally between Christmas and New Year when nobody was buying a house. And me and Q just decided to go in and see what they had. And lo and behold, we found a house that was available and just snatched it up right away. So, but if, you know, other than that, it was, you know, losing out offers because we didn't maybe have the extra cash to bring for appraisal gaps and whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, definitely a great time to check out the new builds, but don't. Yeah.
And I always think it's a great time to buy, no matter what market it is. This is my personal opinion, and I probably don't have any fact behind it, but I always feel like from Thanksgiving through New Year, unless you're a snowbird,
right,
unless you're in the 55 and older, that's different. But just overall, been in the market since 2005, overall, it's sleepy, it's slow, people are in holiday mode, people that have the house on the market and want to get out are definitely more flexible when it comes
right
to that. Now, that may not be true for that sweet spot,
right,
you know, because that still could be going on. But I'd be curious to see.
Agree, because I think that a lot of people, like, aren't necessarily looking very hard. And if you have a seller that's selling a house that has to get out, then they're more...
There's opportunity.
Yeah, there's opportunity for a buyer to mm-hmm, to maybe win a deal a little bit better. And you know, I just think, again, it's a great time. And it's so funny. I had an old boss a long time ago. You know, when I got pregnant with Rachel and I was like 18 and I was freaking out about, oh my gosh, my life's going to be so hard now. And he sat down, he goes, you know, there's never a right time to have a baby. And I feel like you could always say that about a house, right? Like, did I buy it at the right time? Did I buy it at the wrong time? Cause I make jokes and you've heard me make jokes that the worst time to buy a house is when I'm buying a house. But I feel differently this time because best time to buy a house is just whenever you're able to. And, you know, so if the market changes and my house loses value, like, that's fine. I have a house. Like, I still have a house to live in. I still have a house for my family. Like, that's not going to change. So
and the rental prices are crazy.
They're absolutely ridiculous. And I'm sorry, I'm not paying that much for rental.
No,
I'm not doing it.
No.
I can't. Not in good conscience. So, you know, so anyway, so, the, you know, they're definitely changing in the market. And I'll be curious to see how it plays out over the summer. Because summer's typically... busier anyway, right? Like kids are out of school.
Yeah, so usually like Memorial Day weekend slow, the week after slow, but then it picks up again because then people have settled into the routine, and then summer starts and they'll go through the end of the summer for the, you know, in a normal market, normal, you know.
Right.
So, and in then your... September slows down a little bit again, picks up again, and then slows down at Thanksgiving. So
exactly.
That's just, but we should have a mood.
Yeah.
A mood chart.
I'm telling you, but that's, I mean, you can think about it. If you have kids or for, you know, other states, they, their school years don't end as early as ours do. Like we have family up north that they're September. Not going to get, they're not going to get it out starts. Of school until the end of June.
Right.
Whereas we've been out since the end of May.
Right.
You know, so, but you start to see people making those relocation moves during the summer when their kids are out of school, especially if they have families. It's a great time to make those moves. So I think it'll be interesting to see how this summer plays out. I'm excited to see, you know, what happens. And I'm really happy to see, like you said, that the past couple of months we're starting to see a change from cash buyers to FHA and VA, which means we're having a lot of homeowners enter the market. So,
which is great.
I'm excited for that.
And if you're were in the market and got out and thought, oh, forget about it, you know, don't give up. I think there's going to be more opportunity coming.
Absolutely.
You know, and just, you know, don't let the interest rates scare you, because historically, over time, I mean, of course, if you're looking back at 2% and 3%, you're going to think, oh, this is horrible. It's really not, because remember when it went to 6%? It was like, wow, 6%. And that wasn't a long time ago. You know what I mean?
So, no. Those were really great rates. And that's what I
and
said.
And then it went to 5%, and it seemed like it stayed at 5% forever.
Yeah.
You know?
So that seems like what our new norm is. But, you know, it's so funny because we were having dinner last night and my siblings are comparing how awesome they did on their house deals when they bought over the summer last year. My brother with his 2.7 interest rate. My sister's complaining about her 3.something.
3.1, which, by the way, getting the PMI off if you bought and have equity, get that
do
off.
Do it now. And I'm like, yeah, you guys, I'm the middle child. You can tell. 4.625.
Oh, is that where you ended up?
I have 4.625.
Oh, for some reason I thought you were 5.6.
No, I'm not that bad. No.
Oh, okay.
4.625. So and again, if I look at it historically, 4.625 is not bad. I'm just looking at it on the heels of 2.7. So like 2.7 was, you know, really sweet. And I was looking at houses in that time frame. And, you know, 4.625 is a considerable amount higher than that. But, you know, it's still a really good interest rate. And like,
you know what else is interesting? If you are buying a house and you're using conventional loan, let's say you're putting down the 20%, so you have no PMI, check with your lender about FHA. Well, I'm VA if you can, but FHA, because their rates are lower.
Right. You know? I wish I would have known that.
I know.
Like when I closed, like, why wasn't that an option? I wouldn't have had any troubles with appraisal. I qualified for FHA. I should have. If I would have realized that, you know, with rate being such a big deal to me, like, I wish I would have.
Yeah. And that came through a mortgage person that it was my buyer, and they were conventional, you know, putting down 20%. And then they ran the numbers with FHA and they were like, it's just such a better rate. And the payment was a lot less. And so, but it was hard for me because I was already in contract and I presented it as a conventional. So it was like, can we switch to FHA? But thank the Lord on the seller, because he was okay with it.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like a hardship. It wasn't because of credit score. Cause you know,
it was just overall, it was a better deal.
Yeah. We told them how much they would save going to FHA. So they said, okay. And they let us do it and it closed FHA. So.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great for them.
Yeah.
I wish I would have known.
But
too bad that
4.6,
wasn't.
I've been telling people it's 5. She closed at 5.6.
No.
That's what I thought you closed
4.625 is
what
I got.
That's a good rate. Stop crying.
Listen,
I got
my older brother 2.7, my younger sister 3.1. Here I am, the middle child. It's the middle child syndrome is all it is. It really is. I'm like complaining.
And,
it's crazy.
And it's a beautiful house, six bedrooms. It's like a grand palace. So
yeah, it really is. We love it. But I just, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, so yeah, definitely things are changing. But, you know, again, it's not keep an eye on
no
it.
No panic, no anything. It's just, it's just flattening. I say flattening, she says changing.
Yeah. Well, you have to flatten before anything else. No, it's fine, it's all good. And I'm curious to see what happens, because I also feel like we're in Harmony in particular, we're kind of like, families are starting to age out, right? So like, my whole goal was always to live in Harmony until my kids graduated high school, right? Like, I've got 4 years left. Like, I'm not that far from, and I feel like there's some families that are kind of getting there now, and they're like, okay, my kids are gone, and I don't need this big house, and I'm going to live somewhere else or whatever. And so I feel like we're starting to see more of that, like, where you're kind of aging out of the housing process, which is nice, because then you can fill it with new families.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think I did a post the other day. It said, what is your family doing or wanting? And it said, upgrading, downsizing or upsizing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, what was the result?
Oh, I don't know. I have to look at it. I just put them out there, but I don't really look at the results yet. I think it was pretty much split in the middle last time I checked, like 50-50. So I don't know who's answering, but.
Right. Well, I'm curious to see, like, what are you doing? Like, what are your family, are your family dynamics changing? Are you,
do you want to do the harmony shuffle?
Yeah, exactly. The harmony shuffle is really popular. Maybe you start out in a starter home, then you kind of work your way up, and then you like move over to something else. And so there's a lot of that going on. Always historically. And I love harmony. There's nothing wrong with harmony. I just know for me, like once the kids leave, then it's less of a, you know, need to be in this, you know, in the neighborhood. Like we can go other places for work, et cetera.
Well, the rule books say when your children, the last one leaves for college, you can't move for a year. So you really have 5 years.
Who said that?
It was in a book.
Well, they're not smart.
Well, your child can't go to school and they'll want the comfort of coming home to their room. And then you're like, oh, by the way, we moved.
Well, hey, listen, Olivia is going to graduate. And I don't know if she's going to college. I'm pretty sure that girl has a career in sales coming up. She could sell ice to an Eskimo. I don't even know. She's very good. I just wish she'd see it. And, you know, whatever it is, real estate or something else, I think she'd be a phenomenal salesperson.
I tried. She says she didn't like it.
I know, but we'll listen, she can sell something else. It doesn't have to be real estate. She can sell. So you never know. We'll see. Find out what she wants to do.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, guys. If you have any questions or if you want to, any comments, leave them on YouTube, right?
Oh, yeah. YouTube's a good place. Getting a lot more.
Yeah.
A lot more in YouTube.
Yep. So leave us a comment there. You can send us an email at discoverharmonyflorida@gmail.com. Give us a call at 1-844-CORCORAN, CORCORAN. Or I think you can actually leave comments on podcasts too. So, you know,
you can.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
So go ahead and leave us a comment wherever you find us. Thanks so much for joining. We'll see you in the next episode.
See you soon.